to the political cesspool known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host for tonight, James Edwards.
Welcome, everybody, to a program tonight that features a stacked deck in every sense of the word. We have got something for you tonight. I say it every week, I know. But I mean it every week. What can I do? Welcome to the Political Cesspool. I'm your host, James Edwards. Saturday evening, October 23rd, we're live from AM 1380 WLRM Radio Studios in Memphis, Tennessee, broadcasting around the world via the internet at thepoliticalcesspool.org and at libertynewsradio.com. Also going out to the AM/FM affiliate stations of the Liberty News Radio Network. So, what's on tap during tonight's live episode of TPC? Well, I'm glad you asked. Tonight, we have not one, but two featured guests forthcoming in the second hour. Number one, Roan Garcia Quintana. He is a chapter organizer for the Council of Conservative Citizens, one of our favorite organizations, in South Carolina. He's been on this show a handful of times in the past, and just this week he's being attacked in this week's infamous NAACP expose of troubling Tea Partiers. Now, if you read the list of troubling Tea Partiers that was published by the NAACP, although it was written by a Jewish gentleman by the name of Leonard Zeskin. Just going back, that's good. Hey, Keith, that's the NAACP going back to their roots, getting the talking points from the tribe. Nevertheless, if you read the list of troubling Tea Partiers, it reads like it's all of our friends. It's the political cesspool guest list, including USA Today columnist Peter Gemma and Gun Owners of America President Larry Pratt. Real extremists there, let me tell you. Well, Roan Garcia Quintana is going to be on to give us the scoop about that expose in which he is featured. Also, Don Wassel, editor of the Nationalist Times and proprietor of Cast Football, is going to be rejoining us this evening once again to discuss anti-white discrimination policies in professional sports, and he'll also be commenting on my recent meeting with Rachel Maddow. If you've not seen it yet, check it out at thepoliticalcesspool.org. We just put up the video to that yesterday. We'll let Keith talk about it. Too exciting for me to get into. It's on the Political Cesspool's YouTube channel. And finally, also coming up tonight during the third hour, a replay of my guest spot on the Jeff Rentz radio program. I was interviewed by the legendary Jeff Rentz a couple of weeks ago. So tonight during the third hour, we're going to play that interview in its entirety, all of this and much more tonight only on the Political Cesspool radio program. Keith Alexander joining me this evening for the first hour. And Keith and I were just, once again, you know, we talked to you about the Political Cesspool's YouTube channel, how we're going to be cultivating this project. Once again, you just missed some great studio behind-the-scenes footage. We were really yucking it up, having a barrel of laughs over a certain blog entry that I posted on our website a couple of days ago. Keith, I'll let you take it from there.
Well, James was asking me how I was doing. I said, I'm doing great, but I'm not sure about James. He was consorting in a cornfield with Rachel Maddow, of all people. And I tell you what, I saw her on this video that James produced, and it she's a little bit better looking than I remember being on MSNBC. But you know, I just can't imagine anything more frightening to encounter in a cornfield. You talk about a real Halloween experience, that would be it, James.
And if you're wondering why she chose a cornfield for our meeting venue, well, you got to go and watch the video at our website, thepoliticalcesspool.org. A little teaser there. We'll talk more about it later tonight. Also, Keith, on the political cesspool, I mean, the blog is popping this week, baby. I mean, we really got some good content up on the website this week. Alvin Green, we've talked about him before. The black senatorial nominee of the Democrat Party in South Carolina. He's got a college degree. He's an intelligence specialist in the U.S. Army, former intelligence specialist, and he really lets that intelligence be shown and on the website.
If you can imagine this guy, one, after watching this videotape, if you can imagine, one, that he's a college graduate from a legitimate state university like the University of South Carolina, one, and two, that he was actually an intelligence specialist, talk about an oxymoron, in the U.S. military, in the U.S. Army. This just shows you exactly how pernicious affirmative action is. This guy hadn't got the sense to pour piss out of a boot, folks. And, I mean, that would be with the instructions printed on the heels. This guy is so dumb that it beggars belief. And he is running for Senate apparently 59% of the Democrats in South Carolina voted for him over an opponent. You know, if the opponent had a pulse, he's smarter than this guy. This guy is way on the left side of the bell curve, folks. And don't take our word for it. Tune him in. And if you want to see every stereotype you ever had about, people like Alvin Green confirmed, watch this. This guy, you can't make it up, can you, James?
You can't make it up, and I believe that's the category under which I filed it on the blog. So those are just two of the videos we have featured tonight, my meeting with Rachel Maddow and this interview with Alvin Green that was on what station would you expect it to be on? MSNBC. And at the end of this interview, you got to watch it. We can't even over exaggerate how ridiculous it is. After watching it, the MSNBC host still says he would prefer this guy to his Republican opponent. Now, granted, he probably could do no more damage than Jim DeMint, but that being said, come on. Oh, man. All of that is at the website tonight. And, Keith, I know we only got about a minute or two before we go to break, but while we're on the topic of colleges, and, you mentioned the University of South Carolina, we did a little commentary last week about the new mascot at Ole Miss. They've gone from Colonel Rebel to the Black Bear, and you've got a scoop on that you can tease us with now. We'll get into more of it in the second segment.
All right. Ole Miss has done everything it can to destroy itself and everything that it ever stood for, everything that made it distinguished from every other school, everything that made it attractive to certain people. Now it's attractive to nobody. They have switched their mascot from Colonel Rebel to the Rebellious Black Bear now. Everybody down there that is concerned about Ole Miss football, that gives a hoot about it, in other words, is up in arms about it. This is the bridge too far. What I would suggest is that we actually encourage the chancellor and the other so-called leaders at Ole Miss to dump the nickname Rebels and call them the Rebellious Black Bears. Let them put their neck in the noose, folks. This is exactly what the politically correct deserve. Let them go a bridge too far. Let the trap door swing open for them, because it's just a matter of time. Just a matter of time. 30 years ago, who would have imagined that we're going to be talking about gay marriage and that the gay marriage proponents would be winning the debate in the public, at least according to the liberal media? Now, that since they can do that, the name Rebels and the name Ole Miss are headed for the dustbin of history. Let's accelerate the process and let's let these politically correct so-called leaders of, us poor, unwashed masses go a step too far, and let's get them all canned. How about it, James?
We're going to do our best. Like I said, it's almost universal condemnation of this changing of the guard, changing of the mascots, if you will. And yet, still, all of these fools will go, 100,000 of them strong, will go and pay tickets, pay good money to go see a bunch of thugs run around on the grass come Sunday, Saturday afternoon down there. So, we got to cut them where it hurts, folks. We got to withhold our financial support from people like Ole Miss. We got to take a break, guys. We'll be back. We're just getting started. Check our website. A lot of good stuff on there. ThePoliticalCesspool.org. A lot more coming right after this.
Right after these messages.
Don't let me be misunderstood. Don't let me be misunderstood.
Please understand me, baby.
Don't let me be misunderstood.
Don't misunderstand.
Jump in the political cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, everybody. Just another quick reminder of something we made mention of in the first segment. Check out our website. See my video with Rachel Maddow, I don't know, when I met her, I called her sir. I don't know if that was appropriate. she appreciated it, I think. But anyway, Rachel Maddow, the person, let's just put it that way, who famously attacked me and the Political Cesspool radio program on her national television show a couple of weeks ago, well, she agreed to meet me earlier this week in rural New York in an attempt to see if we could settle our differences. Well, you're going to have to go to our website and watch the video itself to see how it all unfolded at the Political Cesspool. .org. Now, since we're on the topic, Keith, of national television networks, Fox News, and NPR had, I don't know if you would say something in common, but there was something in the middle there that connected the two, and that was a person by the name of Juan Williams. Now, Fox News, we all know how pathetic Fox News is. I mean, they come across as the genuine article of conservatism when they claim to be the genuine article of televised conservatism, and it is far from that. In fact, the exact opposite is true. They, Keith, have had the audacity to, you know how when I am on national television, how I'm introduced, and what kind of captions they put underneath my name. All right. They introduce Juan Williams as a conservative commentator. Now, Keith, I'll let you take it from there. Who is Juan Williams? What happened to him at NPR? And where does he stand now with Fox?
Okay, he is a bought, sold, and paid for member of the mainstream media, which means that he is liberal. He has been liberal all of his life. He's never claimed to be anything but a liberal. He was always on NPR, you know, that little milquetoast liberal show that your tax dollars are paying for. And he apparently got on the wrong side of his liberal handlers at NPR because he said he gets nervous when he goes to an airport and sees a Muslim who is going to board the flight he's on rolling out his prayer rug and praying before to Allah before he goes to board the airplane. That was too much, you know, just like Joy Behar and Whoopi Goldberg went nuts when Bill O'Reilly said something about Muslims. Well, NPR did the same thing. Now, of course, we here at this political cesspool know that this whole Muslim business is just a red herring thrown out by the good sons and daughters of Israel that are the people really in charge of the liberal transformation of America, really in charge of the media, really in charge of the educational system, really in charge of the colleges and universities, the entertainment industry, you know, you name it, they're in charge. And this is a diversionary tactic. But, of course, Juan Williams is in on it with a wink and a nod. And, of course, now all of the good mainstream conservatives, people like Bill O'Reilly and Sean Hannity and everything, are rushing to the defense of poor, maligned Juan Williams. And Fox News offers him a gig that probably pays as much or more than what he was getting at NPR. And now he's more than willing to, you know, move 5 degrees to the right and consider himself a conservative as long as the price is right, James. It's all, you know, it's just so scripted and it is so full of bull that I, you know, it's amazing that anybody takes this type of drivel seriously. But apparently they do. In fact, that's all you've been hearing about all week long, James, in the mainstream media.
Well, as I wrote on my blog entry about this matter, future historical footnote Mike Huckabee saw a chance to get his name in the papers and immediately issued a press release denouncing NPR, calling on Congress to cut their funding and vowing not to accept any more interviews from NPR. You know, because, Keith, like the rest of us in the media, we're always begging Mike Huckabee for an interview. But you shouldn't shed any tears for Juan Williams, as you mentioned, Keith, because he's got a new $2 million contract to be a conservative commentator for the conservative, and I'm saying this in quotations, Fox News Channel. Now, he is a bit more intelligent and polished and a bit less insane than the usual talking blacks on TV like Roland Martin. But nevertheless, he is a neocon du jour. You know, left-leaning neocon is an accurate description of him. So, you know, I've written an article about this. Check it out at thepoliticalcesspool.org. Juan Williams, new conservative poster boy. And they love him over there because he is, you know, partly black, I guess, you know, would be an accurate description of him. And so now they can prove that they're not racist. But it's interesting, too, though, Keith, that, you know, we talked a week or two ago about Rick Sanchez being fired from CNN. We knew that in the battle of minorities, Jews are going to just destroy. That's like a number one seed going up against a number 16 seed in the NCAA tournament. A number 16 seed has never won. Jews are always going to win that matchup. They are at the head of the totem pole when it comes to, you know, minority preferences. But the new one, interesting. Juan Williams gets fired. So are Muslims now ahead of blacks in the diversity beneficiary program?
Well, I've got the answer to that. If you'll notice, Rick Sanchez, who came out and made critical comments about Jews, has nobody lining up to hire him. You don't hear anything about him from Sean Hannity or Bill O'Reilly or any of these people. And, of course, the silence is deafening when it comes to $2 million a year gigs. Nobody is offering a gig to Rick Sanchez, not Fox News, not anybody in the mainstream media, because he has committed the unpardonable sin of calling out the tribe. On the other hand, if you just call out the Muslims, well, you're going to be batted back and forth between the liberals and the mainstream conservatives like a tennis ball. They can both do this. You know, it's just a it's a game they're playing. They want conservatives, they want Southern fundamentalists and red state Americans generally to think that their mission in life is to join the Jews in opposing Muslims. And, you know, if you buy that, well, talk to me after the show. I've got some beachfront property in Arizona I'd like to offer to you.
Keith, I'm really wanting to explore my, let's just call it the diversity playoffs. This is all coming to me right now. I think we should have like a sort of interactive video game on the Cesspool site. And we have brackets, just like the NCAA tournament. And let's just see who wins the diversity championship, and whoever wins it, you know, gets a free pass. They can do no wrong. They always get preferential treatment. I think, you know, Jews are your number one seed. But how would you rank the rest of the field? You got blacks, Muslims, homosexuals. I think they now qualify for minority status, at least according to political correctness. Who else am I missing?
That's it. And what's going to happen is
of
course, the group that you can never say a discouraging word about, or else you have cooked your goose, your career is over, you're exiled to Siberia, are the Jews. Everyone else is basically used by the Jews as to play one group off against the others. You know, they pretend, for example, in the civil rights movement and ever since, that they're the big friends of the blacks. But they're not. If you listen and you read what Jews have to say about blacks, they're the most, they mock them. They call them Schwartzes and things like this. They just use them against their real enemy, white Gentiles. Now, you know, the groups that are going, the ultimate losers are going to be white Gentiles. We're at the bottom of the totem pole. At the top of the totem pole, you know, there can be little internecine wars between Muslims, blacks, Hispanics, feminists, yada, yada, yada. But the one group that you never accuse of anything except total and complete righteousness would be the Jews.
And, you know, we're not talking about people just unobjectively throwing out a bunch of incendiaries, just going out and bashing minorities for no reason. We've never done that and would never do that, and don't encourage anyone else to engage in such, you know, silly behavior. What I'm talking about is objective criticism about the actions that some of these groups as a whole take. Now, there's always exceptions that prove the rule. And, you know, Paul Gottfried, a good friend of ours, I don't need to, you know, justify ourselves and our associations or our beliefs. I think they stand on their own 2 feet, obviously so. But what I'm talking about here is we're not talking about people going out and just saying a lot of inflammatory comments, making inflammatory comments. We're talking about objective criticism rooted in fact. You can't even say that. What Rick Sanchez said was 100% true, and yet he still had his head placed on a guillotine. And that is wrong. We got to take a break. We'll be back.
Get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool. Call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397.
Welcome back, everybody, to the award-winning political cesspool radio program. I'm your host with the most, James Edwards, sitting next to Keith Alexander the Great. And, you know, we've reached that point in the first hour where Keith starts... He starts burning up that carpet. I'm telling you, he's doing it again. He's on fire. Once he gets on fire and that brain starts clicking, he can't sit still. And he's burning that hole in the rug once again here at WLRM Radio. And we're excited about that because when Keith is on fire like that, his commentary is equally sizzling. So much is going on right now. We're not going to get into it yet, but October 26th, that's the political cesspool's birthday. The first night we ever had on the air, first night we ever went on the air, October 26th, 2004. We are 3 days shy, Keith, of our anniversary. We will have been on the air a full 6 years and going into what will be our 7th year. So we're going to talk a lot more about that next week. Next week, we'll do our annual birthday bash show where we recollect our favorite guests and moments. But more on that in a minute. More on that in a minute. Too much to talk about right now. Too many announcements. Too much going on. Keith, you were talking, or we were discussing, the firing of Juan Williams. I know you have a couple of comments to say in summation.
We've got a lot of things going on. We're going to throw it all on the griddle and see what sizzles, folks, tonight. But on the NPR firing Juan Williams story, just let me tell you, final word, you're being gamed, people, and you need to understand this. Why in the world should anyone care what happens to Casper Milk Toast Juan Williams? And they would love for you to get all exercised about poor Juan Williams being fired because of his courageous anti-Muslim stand. Well, look, if you're focused on the Muslims, you're focused on the wrong target. That is the wrong target. That's why they're making a big deal out of this. He's nothing.
Not that they're our allies, of course.
No, I'm not trying to say that they're our allies, but we know who the real enemy is, and we know...
Politically speaking.
Well, we know who is... Well, they're more than politically speaking. They're the enemy of our culture. They're the people that have basically started every liberal hard left movement that's come down the pike over the past 60 years, homosexual rights, radical feminism, the sexual revolution, the drug culture, the civil rights movement, radical environmentalism, criminal rights. None of this has been the brainchild of some Muslim group, and it's not the brainchild of the John Birch Society. It's the brainchild of groups like the ACLU and the NAACP, all of whom get their money, organizational skill, and intelligence from the Jewish community. That's who's orchestrating all this. That's who is trying to replace you and put you at the bottom of the totem pole. And don't forget it, James. That's just all there is to it. If you listen to this drivel about Juan Williams, then you're being led down the primrose path. And primrose path, you know, what they say, the pathway to hell leads to is paved with good intentions. You know, your intentions are, they're using your energy to face, to follow a rabbit trail that leads nowhere.
Well, Keith, with that being said, I want to transition into something else that we want to bring to the attention of the listening audience tonight. That being the fact that, you know, we're an award-winning show. We have been bestowed a few honors in our run. I've been named an honorary Memphis City Councilman. The city of Memphis itself, the Memphis City Council, issued this show a certificate of recognition for outstanding contributions to the community. And what a community it is. Just this week, Memphis ranked number one in another poll.
Yes, Forbes magazine came out with its America's 10 Most Dangerous Cities, and guess who is number one? Dear old Memphis, Tennessee.
And it beat out some stiff competition.
Right. I mean, we beat out Detroit. We beat out Gary, Indiana. We beat out Camden, New Jersey. We beat out East St. Louis, Illinois, Oakland, California. Query, what do all of these places have in common? Well, the answer that everybody ought to know if they listen to this show is a majority-minority population. This falls right in line with our Third World America segments that we've been giving you for the past 2 weeks. America is sliding into the third world, and if you want to know how it happens and what our future holds for us, take a look at a place like Memphis, Tennessee. Memphis, Tennessee, back in the 1950s, was consistently being named America's most beautiful city, America's cleanest city, a city that had a church on every street corner virtually. And now America's cleanest and most beautiful city is declining. People are leaving in droves that have the wherewithal to get out. The public schools are absolutely abominable. They're just a hiring hall for minorities. None of the children that have the misfortune of attending these schools are going to learn a darn thing. It is just absolutely incredible the downward spiral that is happening. And, of course, crime and violence, according to Forbes magazine, are, you know, paramount in a place like Memphis, Tennessee. It's not the type of place you want to live in, and it's that way because of the liberal transformation of America. And this is what happens. This is what we've been saying for the past 2 weeks, James. What is going on in America is that a majority white city becomes an integrated city, and you integrate things like the school system. When you do that, whites start to move out, and furthermore, the white birth rate falls in places like this because people don't want to have more children than they can afford to send to private schools. So the whole process is accelerated, and a place like Memphis becomes Detroit. Detroit becomes Haiti. And furthermore, as black people realize, which they instinctively do, that they need to live in the vicinity of large numbers of white people in order to share a first world lifestyle, what they do is they're going to be headed to a community near you. All of these smug people in places like Provo, Utah, Dubuque, Iowa, Des Moines, Iowa, Portland, Maine, look out, the third world is coming, because they want what you got. They want your stuff. Just like Alvin Green, the Democratic Senate hopeful from South Carolina, he said everybody's going to get all this stuff.
I got a comment on that. This is the guy that we were referring to earlier. He somehow wins the senatorial nomination from the Democratic Party in South Carolina, running against Jim DeMint. And we talked about this ridiculous interview that he participated in, one of many. But it's on our website, thepoliticalcesspool.org. And when you watch it, keep a couple of things in mind. He was a United States Army intelligence specialist, and he also has a legitimate degree from a legitimate university of South Carolina. But this is it. You know, he keeps talking about how this person and that person started the recession. Well, if you go to his campaign website, what he promises to do if elected is to make sure that no one in America has to do three things. They never again have to pay for education. They never again have to pay for health care. And they never again have to pay for housing. That's what he's going to deliver. And I'm sure that would help bolster the economy, Keith.
Yeah, that's a real formula for jump-starting the economy, James. What this shows is the absolute insanity of imagining that there is equality among the races. This guy has been given a college degree, and I mean given a college degree. He was given a job as an intelligence specialist when he's probably the least intelligent person that you will have heard in the past year if you take up our invitation to play the videotape on the James blog at the Political Cesspool. It's up there right now. You got to see it. You got to see it to believe it, folks. We can't make this up. This is the consequence of the 15-point average differential in IQs. Now, like we said, there are always exceptions, and there are a lot of black people that we acknowledge are, you know, very intelligent, very good citizens and whatnot. But when you have this 16-point difference between the average IQ of a typical black American, of the black population versus the white population, what it means with a bell curve distribution, James, is that only 16% of blacks are as smart as or smarter than the average white person, the 50th percentile white person. Likewise, only 16% of whites are as dumb as or dumber than the average American black person. What is going to happen, what is predictably going to happen, when you thrust people like that into positions of leadership? Well, if you want to know, look at the government of Memphis, Tennessee. Compare the Memphis, Tennessee of 1950 with the government of Memphis, Tennessee today. Compare the school system, the public school system of Memphis, Tennessee in 1950 with the school system of today, James. No comparison.
With that being said, we'll be right back.
Don't go away. The Political Cesspool guys will be back right after these messages.
We gotta get out of this place. If it's the last thing we ever do, we gotta get out of this place. Girl, there's a better life.
Welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's Dime, toll free at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, everybody. Before we get back to the topic at hand, I want to remind everyone and get Keith's comment on this real quick. 6 years, Keith, come, let's see here. The 26th, that's Tuesday. Come Tuesday, the political cesspool will have been on the air a full 6 years, October 26, 2004. First night. Who would have ever thought not only that we would still be here 6 years later, but that we would be an absolute media magnet? I mean, there is no show on the mainstream airwaves, no paleoconservative talk radio program on the AM/FM airwaves, legitimate paleoconservative. I'm not counting, obviously, Limbaugh or Hannity or any of those jokes. They don't even try. Yeah. So, no, but no one gets more press than we do. Now, so the question is, to be here 6 years later is a monumental victory in and of itself, but to be on the lips of some of the biggest newspapers and magazines and television programs in the world is a testament not only to the work we've done, but the effectiveness of that work. And we'll talk much more about this next week, but just a little primer tonight as we head into the birthday week. Your thoughts, Keith?
You know, when we started this thing off, James, nobody had visions of grandeur about this. We wanted to have a local paleoconservative radio program that would get information out that isn't widely available. And there apparently was such a hunger out there in the hinterlands of America for the type of observations and insights that we provide, that the thing just took off. It's like we got caught in the jet stream. You know, this thing is bigger than all of us. There are so many people in America that think like we do, and they're never validated. They never get to hear their viewpoint expressed on MSNBC, CNN, Fox News, or any place else. And people are coming to us like people coming off a desert to an oasis. I mean, they just love it. And that's, you know, you people out there are the reason this show is a success. And quite frankly, if, you know, the problem is none of us are rich, or very few of us are, so we scrabble by. But we're not in this for money. We're in this because we think we have the truth. And like the Bible says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. We think that saying the truth has a salutary effect on everybody, and that's what we're going to continue to do.
And I just want to say this to wrap up this little talk. And like I said, next week we're going to have a full hour with the entire hosting staff reflecting upon their favorite memories that have been made over the last six years and where we go in the future, with which I think is you know, bigger and better. But, Keith, you know, we tell the truth in love on this radio program. You know, I know that a lot of the things that we say would be deemed as controversial, but I don't think that we really say anything that's not proven facts. We certainly don't say anything to try to demean other people or hurt their feelings or come across as shocking or provocative in a entertainment sense. But, you know, there's some things out there that no one else is saying. We have the courage to say them, and that's what separates our show from all the rest. But that being said, you know, much more of that next week. When we do the political cesspool birthday show. So, Keith, any final thoughts on Memphis, Tennessee being ranked number one on the Forbes list of most dangerous cities in America? That was the topic we were discussing in the last segment.
James, I will say this. In 1950, Memphis was not in the running for being one of the 10 most dangerous cities in America. It was never found to be a dangerous city. But, of course, back then we had a majority white population in Memphis, and white people were governing and in positions of leadership and authority in Memphis. That has changed. It has changed because of this whole liberal sea change that has been thrust upon America against the will of the majority of American citizens by the left. And paleoconservatives, we're the type of people that think like people did in 1950 when all of this stuff was starting to break. Now, you know, we've been talking about third world America now for 3 weeks. You got to remember, in 1960, after Eisenhower's Operation Wetback drove out all of the illegal immigrants in America at that time, America was 90% white, 10% non-white. Now America is 36% non-white, 64% white, and by 2042, America will be 49% white and 51% non-white, and what happens is that non-white segment grows, prosperity flees, and that's what happens. If you want to look at a little glimpse into the future, look at Detroit, look at Haiti. And if you want to know what the end game is for white people under those circumstances as we shrink to an ever in smaller part of the population, look to Zimbabwe, the former Rhodesia, and look at South Africa. You're not going to find the same type of altruistic government in, governing us when non-whites are in charge of the government. It's going to be open season on the white minority. They're not, minority rights will be an oxymoron. Nobody will be concerned with minority whites when whites become the minority, James.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt about that. And that's, you know, just, again, typical of the double standards and the hypocrisies of the left, hypocrisies that I think are accentuated in the video of my meeting with Rachel Maddow, which you can see at thepoliticalcesspool.org. Now, I want to give you another name, Keith. Barbara Billingsley. Who is it, and why is she significant?
Barbara Billingsley was an actress who was primarily known for starring as June Cleaver in the Leave It to Beaver family sitcom from the late 50s and early 60s. She was the one who wore pearls and greeted her husband with a smile and a clean, tidy home and a hot meal on the table every night when he came home from work.
So she'd be public enemy number one now.
Oh, yeah. She would be considered a person that, you know, has been brainwashed by the right and someone who basically needs sensitivity training so she can turn into Bella Abzug, which is the real role model for radical feminists in America today. But you notice how much better America operated and worked and how we're in the ascendancy rather than in the decline back when Barbara Billingsley was the role model for American housewives and mothers, James. So we want to make a tip of the hat to Barbara Billingsley, and we also want people who want to visit a kinder, gentler time in America to tune in something like TV Land or Good Times TV or some type of retro TV cable channel that you may have access to.
And why is it, you know, we say paleoconservative when we describe our political beliefs. How does our political beliefs coincide with the programs you're mentioning, Keith?
Well, they're consonant. They're right online with those things. That's paleoconservative. That is paleo culture in America. That's the culture that we think was superior to the culture of today. We think that family life was much better. We think that we had affordable family formation back then. We had a public school system that was accessible to everybody, and everybody had the opportunity to get a good education back then. And yes, indeed, that includes even black people going to segregated schools. Willie Harrington, the former mayor of Memphis, actually commented that the Booker T. Washington High School that he attended, which was a segregated black high school in Memphis in the 1950s, was a better school where more learning took place than the Booker T. Washington of the 1990s when he was the mayor of Memphis. See, people need to wake up and smell the coffee. America has gotten worse, not better, under liberalism. Paleoconservatism is the answer. Obama wants to change America. We say change America back. Right, James?
That's exactly right. I mean, you know, we're talking about some of this iconic programming of the 1950s and 60s, Leave It to Beaver. You know, these are shows, the Donna Reed Show, these are shows that really reflected what America looked like back then. And we think that the America of that era was far superior morally and culturally and any way you want to slice it by any standard of measurement than the America we have today. So, yes, As paleoconservatives, we want an America that more resembles that than this joke of a country we've got, or what's becoming a joke of a country we've got today. I don't want to disrespect, you know, the land that our forefathers carved from a wilderness by calling it a joke, but America is really a caricature of itself at this point.
Yeah, it wasn't the founding fathers that gave us today's America. It was the hard leftists and Jewish activists and civil rights activists of the 50s and 60s, the radical feminists, the homosexual lobby, all of these marginal groups, all of these groups that were on the fringes of American society back then, and with good reason, because America was run so much more efficiently and so much better back then than it is now, James. That's it. Our founding fathers founded the America of the 50s. What's come since then, don't lay that at their doorstep.
Keith Alexander the Great, everybody, doing what he does best, co-hosting with me for the first hour.
1 hour.
He's done for tonight, but there's 2 hours left, and I'm going to be here to guide you through them right after these words.
Cesspool comes your way right after these messages.
Harv leaped to his feet and said, something's got a hold on me. Yow! The day the squirrel went berserk in the First Self-Righteous Church in that sleeping little town of Pascagoula. It was a fight for survival that broke out in revival. They were jumping pews and shouting hallelujah. Well, Harv hit the aisles dancing and screaming. Some thought he had religion, others thought he had a demon. And Harv thought he had a weed eater loose in his fruit of the blooms. He fell to his knees to plead and beg, and the squirrel ran out of his britches leg unobserved to the other side of the room, all the way down to the A.